Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Boy, our ice cream social at Dairy Queen on Sunday, it really has kicked up a stir. And the media keeps talking about our protest, the part of it that was against Ken Salazar, the senator, for being pro-abortion, and also the part for being critical of the 25-year failed strategy of the conservative Christians that if we elect Republican presidents that will get godly judges. And so, you know, it came, James Dobson on his radio show mentioned the Dairy Queen protest. Mike Rosen on KOA was all worked up about it today. Oh, when a caller brought it up on his show, he gets especially sort of worked up whenever my name comes up. It's interesting. The Rocky Mountain News twice again today in an editorial page from Vincent Carroll. Maybe I'll read you a blurb of that. And the Denver Post, K-House Peter Boyles had me on, Focus on the Family Citizen Link publication, interviewed me. It came up on Jay Sekulow's national radio show. He's the Christian lawyer, and he was asked by a caller, hey, Pastor Bob Enyart in Denver of Denver Bible Church says that many of these Republican judges are pro-abortion. And it's been described to me by a couple different listeners that Jay Sekulow had a hard time defending Republican presidential judicial nominees because they're so liberal, and local papers have covered the story. And what I'm going to do in a couple minutes is let you hear an interview I just did minutes before the show with Gannett News Services. They own about 100 newspapers around the country. We'll let you hear that interview. But first, from the Rocky Mountain News today, editorial page editor Vincent Carroll, so-called follower of Christ is the title of the little blurb. It says, Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, who led an anti-Ken Salazar protest Sunday at the Dairy Queen in Westminster, operated by the senator's wife, is the living fulfillment of the left-wing caricature of religious conservatives. And he goes on to say, he quotes me on homosexuals. He's upset that apparently I'm against homosexuals. And he quotes me as saying, we are sissifying the country. And he says it's one of Enyart's calmer insights. And then he goes on to say that George Soros should make a large donation to Bob Enyart Live, and because the more high profile our show, the more the public is likely to flee from our cause. And that's probably true. Can't disagree with that. Well, at any rate, at our website, kgov.com, we have a suggested email. If you'd like to email this to carolv@rockymountainnews.com, and to the editor-in-chief, Temple J. But if you go to kgov.com, you could send out this email real easily to the Rocky Mountain News, and it says this. It says, shouldn't the news inform readers? In fact, the subject here, let me tell you what the subject of this email is if you just pop. If you just click on email the Rocky Mountain News, it'll pop up in your email. And the subject is, can't the news report this? Dobson is outraged by his own judges. And here's the email we think it'd be good to send them. Shouldn't the news inform readers that even though Dobson gave the 11th Circuit decision against Terry Schiavo as an example that the judiciary is out of control, all six of the justices nominated by his pro-life Republican presidents, Reagan, Bush 1, and Bush 2, voted against his own position. All six voted against Terry Schiavo, and now James Dobson is outraged by his own judges. As Bob Enyart's KGov.com asks, isn't that newsworthy? Okay, now we're going to go to a recording of an interview we just did, and it's a little slow because I'm allowing the reporter to type. Her name is Faith, so let's hit it.
Newsroom, this is Faith.
Faith, this is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm just working on a story for the Fort Collins, Coloradoan newspaper.
All right.
About Mr. Salazar and his...
The filibuster?
Oh, yeah, and the judges and all that. But
yeah.
What I wanted to talk to you about is... I understand members of your church participated in that or...
Yeah, that's true.
...organized it. Just wanted to ask you why. Well, first I should ask you, though, how influenced were you by Focus on the Family to do this, if at all? Or
okay, sure. Our protest had two purposes. We criticized Senator Salazar and Focus on the Family.
Okay, so you're protesting both.
Yes, and the thrust of what we did and what's caused the biggest stir out here was publicly opposing James Dobson's strategy.
Okay.
And basically opening up a schism in the Christian right.
Okay.
Because the pro-life Republican presidents have pro-choice judges.
Okay.
For example, Dobson criticized the 11th Circuit for voting against Terry Schiavo.
Right. Uh-huh.
And fully half of the justices.
Or more.
Well, half of the justices, six of the 12, were nominated by pro-life Republican presidents.
Yeah.
Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush. And all six voted against Dobson's position.
Yeah.
All six.
Yeah.
So we are critical of a quarter century failed strategy.
Okay.
That by electing pro-life Republican presidents, we will get pro-life judges.
You don't believe that is the case.
Well, we have 25 years of track record. I could give you other examples.
Yeah. So what should pro-life Christians be doing instead?
We should follow James Dobson's strategy of 10 years ago.
Which was?
When he gave a pledge that he would never again support a politician willing to kill a single innocent child.
Does he now support a politician?
Sure. In fact, he made it clear he would not support George W. Bush unless he chose a running mate who was more pro-life. Because George W. Bush has made a career of saying he's pro-life and nominating pro-abortion judges.
Which pro-abortion judges has George W. Bush nominated?
Well, for example, the Texas Supreme Court that he managed to get Alberto Gonzalez as the Chief Justice. And according to the New York Times, you could Google this. According to the New York Times, it was the Bush judges that led the way on the most pro-abortion decision ever in Texas, that even minors could have an abortion without their parents even knowing they were having an operation. And George W. Bush has kept his first campaign promise, which was to ignore abortion when selecting federal judges.
Okay.
If you recall, he said he had no litmus test.
Yeah. Do you really believe that he has no litmus test?
His track record shows he has no litmus test.
Because of his appointees to the Texas Supreme Court?
No, and ever since. For 25 years, we Christians in the ranks have been told, trust us, these Republican-nominated judges are really good.
Yeah.
and we get Sandra Day O'Connor.
Okay.
And we get David Souter.
Uh-huh.
Remember the Ninth Circuit decision that Under God was unconstitutional in the pledge?
Yeah.
James Dobson, Sean Hannity, they were outraged and demanded that we get more Republican judges. The problem is, it was a Republican judge who wrote that decision.
Yeah.
It was a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit, and it was one Democratic, one Republican judge, and the Republican one wrote the decision.
Yeah.
Time and again, it's the Republican judges that hand down the decisions that get the Christian right so angry. The current U.S. Supreme Court, seven of the nine justices were nominated by Republican presidents.
Yeah.
And it is a solidly pro-choice Supreme Court. This court keeps abortion legal.
Yeah.
Even the pro-life justices on the Supreme Court, like Thomas and Scalia,
yeah,
they say it's a legislative matter so that they could be pro-choice if legalized legislatively.
Yeah.
The most pro-life statement they make is that Roe was a bad judicial decision.
Yeah.
Which Supreme Court justice has ever said that an unborn child has a right to life?
Okay. So it sounds like you're a bit farther to the right, if I may.
Sure.
I can use a directional
sure.
designation. Then focus on the family.
Yeah, but we're asking them to evaluate the success of their own strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter where you are in the political spectrum. You could look back at 25 years of the Christian Coalition, Moral Majority, Pat Robertson, and say, are these Republican victories getting us pro-life judges?
Yeah. Well, they might say that it takes time.
Well, we got seven of the nine.
Yeah.
And it's still a pro-choice Supreme Court. What do we need, nine of the nine?
Okay.
Well, can't
maybe,
we have a
because the votes have been splitting, as I recall, 5-4, right?
So well, those are not on the fundamental issue of abortion.
Okay. That's on the fundamental issue of going back to the way it was before Roe v. Wade, when each state had their own law.
Well, the typical cases that on abortion that go to the Supreme Court are dealing with the side issues of abortion.
Right.
Not with abortion fundamentally, but
yeah.
parental consent or notification or late yeah. term or.
Yeah, okay. So.
So we are asking James Dobson to evaluate the results of a quarter century of Christian political effort.
Okay.
And will it take a half century before we realize that Republican judges are primarily pro-choice? Let me ask you, what's the one name that comes up most often when White House insiders give a name on the short list of who Bush might nominate to the Supreme Court? Are you familiar? What name comes up most often?
Oh, let me rack my brain here.
Yeah, you might not be able to pick somebody off the top of your head, but Alberto Gonzalez. He's typically at the top of the list. George W. Bush, got him to the Texas Supreme Court justice, then brought him to the White House as chief legal counsel and would like to put him on the U.S. Supreme Court. But he knows that there will be an outcry from Dobson and Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson.
He tried to get him just a regular judgeship and he couldn't do that.
Well, yeah, but that's who he would like to get on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
In fact, do you remember the taped phone conversations between George W. Bush before he was president and his evangelical mentor?
I remember reading about those.
The New York Times scandal.
Yeah, yeah.
the New York Times reported that George W. Bush said, well, I obviously cannot select a pro-choice running mate because Dobson would not have it.
Yeah.
So it shows the heart of George W. Bush that he is proud of nominating pro-choice judges. And so the question is, can the pro-life community survive any more Republican victories?
Okay, let's talk about Salazar for a minute.
Yeah.
What should Mr. Salazar be doing?
Running a Dairy Queen.
Well, that's his wife's job, I think.
Well, they both own his his own bio on it, Senate.gov website. He brags that he's a small business owner.
Okay.
And with his wife, owns and operates Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
So like a typical politician, he lacks integrity even at that level. When he thinks it'll get him votes, he runs a Dairy Queen. And when there's a protest, it's his wife's Dairy Queen.
As far as this whole judge's filibuster thing, what should Mr. Salazar do from your point of view?
Our official statement at the Dairy Queen protest, by the way, we referred to it as an ice cream social.
Okay.
Our official statement was that Salazar's filibuster of these Republican judges has absolutely no effect on America's moral decline.
Okay. Then why did you go out and...
Well, because he's pro-abortion. He supports killing unborn children. And Republican presidents keep giving us pro-abortion judges. So let's stop this national facade that Republican presidents nominate only pro-life judges. Look at William Pryor on the 11th Circuit.
Okay. What about him?
Bush squeezed him in with a recess appointment.
Yeah.
In February of 2004. Because the Democrats had threatened a filibuster.
Yeah.
And the Christian right was up in arms. And a year later, James Dobson is criticizing the decision by William Pryor to let Terri Schiavo die. The judges we are fighting for on the other side of the line in the sand, which says, do not kill.
Okay. Now, how do you know that...
Pryor voted that way?
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Salazar is pro-abortion.
That's his entire career.
His entire career?
Yeah, he's pro-choice. To us, pro-choice and pro-abortion are the same thing.
Okay. You don't differentiate between people who say...
No.
It's against my religion. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not going to stop you from...
No, what do we say that to child molesters, rapists, people who want to lynch blacks, murderers? What other crime do we say, well, personally, I'm against raping women, but who am I to impose my morality on others? Should we say that when people kill abortionists?
Well, one area that this country has had history on, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, and that is alcohol.
Yeah.
I was raised in a church to believe that drinking alcohol was sinful and wrong.
Well, and that church would not have allowed Jesus Christ to be a member.
Well, it's whatever.
Yeah.
That was their belief that alcohol was wrong. That was their interpretation of the scriptures.
Right, right, right.
And they looked at other people who drank
alcohol
as being sinful.
Yeah.
Now, they wouldn't for a minute, though, say that it should be sinful for, since it's sinful for everybody,
it should be illegal for everybody. Well,
and alcohol, as we do know, kills many, many people every year. It breaks up families.
You're right.
Makes people sick. It's an evil. It can be an evil thing.
I'll answer your question.
Okay.
Biblically, there's a difference between sin and crime. Not all sins are crimes. When a sin crosses the threshold of criminality, then it needs to be outlawed.
Okay, and you don't think...
And killing innocent living human beings crosses that line.
Okay. And you don't see alcohol as being the same.
Alcohol is not a sin. Like, it's a sin to get drunk, but it's not a sin to drink alcohol.
Okay.
In fact, the federal this is off the topic, but for you might be interested to recall, the federal government offered the states grants back in the 60s to decriminalize drunkenness. Mm-hmm. And so nationwide today, as well as in many of the countries in the West, drunkenness is no longer a crime.
Yeah.
And the crime should be drunkenness. That should be a crime, whereas drinking is not a crime.
Yeah.
It's fine to drink. It's criminal to get drunk because you become a danger and an unnecessary risk to your neighbors.
Yeah. All right. So Mr. Salazar needs to stop supporting
the killing of unborn children.
And voting. Of course, he hasn't had a chance to vote yet, but.
Yeah, we're not. We have no concern about his filibuster.
You have no concern about his filibuster?
Zero.
Okay.
Why do we want more Republican judges? So that we'll completely lose the Supreme Court?
But it doesn't seem like any of the Democratic judges
are
on your side either. So
yeah, so let's not delude ourselves.
Huh.
I mean, 6 of the 12 11th Circuit justices are Dobson's judges. And all 6 voted against him, and he used that decision to prove that the court is, quote, out of control, unquote.
Yeah.
If you look at the Rocky Mountain News.
So how does the Christian community find judges who are opposed to abortion and who will vote that way?
We need the kind of leadership that James Dobson almost gave a decade ago.
Okay.
But he faltered.
Have Christians who are opposed to abortion, as a matter of convenience maybe, let their standards slip a bit? Or?
Oh, sure. Yeah, when you've been compromising for 25 years, you lose your moral footing, so that in the Terri Schiavo fight, most of the pro-life community crossed the line to support suicide and assisted suicide.
Assisted suicide?
As long as there's a living will.
Yeah.
Most of the pro-life leaders in America, the second and third tier spokesmen like the religious conservative talk show hosts and the pastors and the president of the America's Evangelical Association, almost like puppets, they said, if there had been a written directive, we would have avoided all of this.
Yeah.
So without a thought, the pro-life leadership in America became pro-suicide, not realizing they had compromised because they've been doing so for a quarter century. Did you know, let me ask you, Faith, did you know that pro-life leaders are now pro-suicide as long as there's a written directive? I mean, that's new. The pro-life movement never before had been pro-suicide as long as there's a written directive. We've got Hugh Hewitt, perhaps the number one Christian talk show host in America on the radio.
Yeah.
Saying to Michael Medved and Dennis Prager, all three talk show hosts together, that if a quadriplegic wants to be starved to death, he supports that.
Yeah.
They will never compromise on Republican Party politics, but they so easily compromise on thou shalt not murder. So you guys in the media probably are not aware of it as those of us in the right-wing trenches are, but there is a schism that's been broiling just under the surface.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of gets back to my original question. How do you find judges who are as pro-life or anti-abortion, whatever you want to call
it? Yeah, I answered that. I mentioned Dobson 10 years ago. You need that kind of leadership.
But where do you find these guys? They're not taught that in law school.
Well, I'll give you an example. Robert Bork, before he was Borked, he was pro-choice. And then he wrote Slouching Toward Gomorrah. And in the book, he said he had been pro-choice his whole career. And what moved him to become pro-life was that he simply thought about the matter. He just thought about it. And he thought of the unborn baby in the womb with arms and legs and fingers and eyes and sleeping and dreaming. And he realized it's wrong to kill an innocent unborn child. And so if there were the kind of leadership that James Dobson almost provided, many people sitting on the fence could be taught right from wrong. I have a radio show that's beginning soon.
What radio show do you do?
Bob and Yart Live. We've been doing it 14 years. It's on the most powerful Christian radio station in America. It's a 55,000 watt AM 670 KLTT. All right, stop the tape. Stop the tape. So that was an interview we just did, and we had a rush to get that on the air in the minutes before we went on. And that's the kind of interviews we've been doing with people in the media. Now, I'd like to promo the next interview I have scheduled, which happens in a half hour from now. And if you live in Colorado, you can catch it, especially in the Denver metro area. It's on the Gino Geraci show. And it's a real honor to be on Gino's show. It's going to be at 4 o'clock today. And Gino is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, South Denver. And he's had a really popular show on KRKS 94.7. And so, you know, normally AM stations don't point you over to an FM station. But in this case, Gino has a great show. And, you know, with the whole Terri Schiavo battle, Gino was clear that you don't kill a person because they have a written directive. You don't starve them to death. And I admire Gino for taking that stand, even though he's friends with, he travels in better circles than I do, actually. And he's friends with some of the very talk show hosts that we mention on this program. And we say, watch out, beware, because these guys have crossed over to pro-suicide. And so Gino is maintaining the line that God drew, thou shalt not murder, you don't kill innocent people. So it's going to be great to be on his show at 4 o'clock. By the way, this Saturday is Maranatha Christian Center's big 25th birthday celebration and fun fair. It's going to be a blast. Cheryl and I will be there with our kids, and it's free admission. There's a few small expenses for some of the food and rides, but most of it is just, it's going to be a blast. Midway games, climbing wall, a bungee run, haystack ride, fire truck, cotton candy, music, great food. So you got to come out if you can in Arvada at 72nd and Oak, Maranatha Christian Center, Saturday from 10 to 4. And I'd like to invite you to Bob and Yart, to tune in to Bob and Yart Live on KGov, KGov.com.